Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to the Old Testament book of Hosea. Chris has already reminded us this is exit 28 as we travel down Route 66. 66 books in 66 weeks. We are in the prophetic mountain range of the Old Testament. Hosea is the sixth book of the 17 books in what we call the Old Testament prophets. I know you realize this, but in the English-speaking world, Hosea is actually the first of what we call the minor prophets. If you could picture in your mind the prophets as a mountain range, there are 17 peaks in this mountain range. Hosea is peak 6, but he's also peak 1. If we divide the prophets into major and minor prophets. Now, when we say Hosea is minor, the first one, please do not think compared to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel that his message was minor and theirs was major. Absolutely not. When we say minor, we're talking about the length of their messages, the length of their books, compared to the 5 major prophets. Hosea had a major message for the northern kingdom before it would fall to the Assyrians in 722 B.C. He was a northerner, unlike Amos, who was called from the south to go to the north to preach a message of judgment. Hosea was a homegrown prophet from the northern kingdom. So this morning, we're going to be traveling through the Old Testament prophetic book of Hosea. Now, I don't know about you, but when we travel in our house, we sometimes like to point out to the other passengers what we know we're going to be seeing because we don't want anyone to miss the main sights of the trip. As a matter of fact, sometimes when a family member has already been on a trip, one of the first questions we like to ask is, what did you do or what did you see on your trip? Crider Man just went on a field trip with his class in kindergarten. The first time Mimish saw him, first question out of her mouth was, Crider, what did you see at the home place? And then the next thing you know, Crider starts telling Mimish everything that he saw at the home place. Now, Finn got to tag along with his bigger brother. And immediately, Finn, without being asked, started telling Mimish everything he saw at the home place too. And guess what? Everything he saw was exactly what Crider saw that Crider just told Mimish. Little brothers always see what big brothers see. Amen? And that's our goal this morning. That we all see the same thing when we go through the book of Hosea. Now, those of you who did the daily readings, you've already seen this. But we want you to keep your eyes open. If you did not get to do the daily readings, you've not read Hosea in a while, as we preach through Hosea this morning, we're going to see two things. Now, if you see these two things, you've got the book. There's just two things. The sin of Israel and the love of God. Can you say that with me? The sin of Israel and the love of God. Now, you didn't see that. Say that like you're really anticipating seeing it. Just say it like you're going to anticipate seeing it. The sin of Israel, say it, the sin of Israel and the love of God. Hosea's going to do something amazing. See, through the historical books and through much of the prophetic writings, we realize that Israel actually breaks the law of God. But what we're going to discover in Hosea, that besides breaking the law of God, Israel also broke the heart of God. Sin to Hosea is not just about breaking a law of God. It's about sinning against the love. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can tell who I'm talking to. They don't really see what I'm trying to get them to see. Does that make sense? So sometimes I'll have to say, would you like for me to draw you a picture? Because in Western Kentucky, we've got this little saying, a picture is worth what? 1,000 words. Just this morning, our brother here this morning, Brother Garrett, he's a pastor from Illinois, and he's on a sabbatical, and he was staying down at Jay Creek, and when I pulled up at the campground service, one of the campers introduced him to me, and he and his wife had already planned to be here at Hardin this morning, 8 o'clock service. Matter of fact, he'd went to the website, printed out a picture of the church. He said, that's you. I said, that's me. And then he asked how to get to the church. See, our website doesn't tell you how to get there from Jay Creek. Now, I knew I could take him to the shortcut the way I was going to go. Ooh, dangerous. So I just began to tell him to go out, turn left, go out to Highway 68, turn right at the Interbell, go down to Aurora, turn right by the Dollar General store and the gas station, and go about 8 miles. And then when you come into Hardin, you'll go through a four-way stop, and then you'll come to another Dollar. He said, another one? Yes, another Dollar General store, turn. You could tell my brother didn't trust my words. I mean, he trusted my words, but he didn't trust he would remember my words. So while I was saying what I was saying, guess what he was doing? Drawing him a map. He made it here this morning. That picture was worth a thousand words. I can't tell you how many times somebody's told me how to go somewhere, how to get somewhere. My dad's told me how to do something. He'll tell me exactly what it looks like, and I'll just say, whoa, 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 whoa. Can you draw me a picture? Can you draw me a map? Now listen, God wants to make sure that His people do not miss what they are to see in this book, and that's the sin of Israel and the love of God. So you know what He does? He draws them a picture. And when you see this picture, you'll never forget the sin of Israel and the love of God. You know the picture that He draws is the picture of a husband and a wife and their relationship. Now in this picture, Gomer, his wife, is going to picture the sin of Israel. And Hosea, the prophet, is going to picture the love of God. Stand with me as we read two verses from the book of Hosea. Now remember, our normal style at Hardin is to take a book, preach through the entire book. Sometimes it takes us years. Or if we pick a topic, we look at all the verses in the Bible usually that relate to that topic so we get the full picture. We like verse by verse. But we're preaching through 66 books in 66 weeks. Not possible. So our purpose is not to exegete these two verses, but just let these two verses give us the big story of the book of Hosea. Because the reason we're studying 66 books in 66 weeks is because we want to see the big story of each book and how it fits into the big story of the Bible. And the big story of the Bible is about our redemption in Christ Jesus. Amen. How God has taken us from a garden of ruin one day to a city of restoration. And what we're wondering is, how does Hosea's big story fit into that big story of the Bible? And I think we're going to be amazed this morning. Because one of the most depressing books in the Bible paints the beautiful picture of, despite man's sin, how much God still loves us. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, the Word of God says, I want you to listen to this. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take to yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom. Whoa. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. Now go over to chapter 3, verse 1, ESV version. And the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. Father, thank you for these worshipers here this morning. A lot of things going on in our community, a lot of other things going on in the life of our church, and yet we've showed up here, Father, to worship you. We've used song, we've used praise, we've used prayer, we've used fellowship. We've worshiped you with our tithes and our offerings, but now we want to worship you through the Word. We want to have an encounter with you. We want you to open our eyes to see in this picture, Gomer, and how she pictures the sin of Israel, and how Hosea pictures the love of you. Father, let us see why you gave us the book Hosea, and how it fits into the big storyline of the big storyline of the Bible. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now you realize if you have to leave at this moment, you know the book of Hosea. Amen? It's about the sin of Israel and the love of God. And so that Israel wouldn't miss it, God paints them a picture. Look what verse 2 said. The first words that God spoke through Hosea, God's first message to Israel through Hosea, was a message in picture. The picture was the relationship that he was going to have with his wife and the children that would be born to him while she was his wife. Wow. Jeremiah, it was so bad in the day that he lived that God said, you can't marry. It was so bad in Ezekiel's day that Ezekiel spoke to the exiles in Babylon. God said, when your wife dies, to be a sign to Israel, you can't even mourn her death. But to Hosea, God said, Hosea, you and your wife and your kids are going to be picture of Israel and me. So I've handpicked you a bride. Now, can you imagine if Hosea had went to his parents and said, hey guys, God has revealed to me the person I'm supposed to marry. Those parents probably like us would have went, yay! That's every parent's dream, amen? For their children to marry the person they've been praying God handpicked for them. Amen? Doesn't get any better than that. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but I just get this picture that Hosea, can't call him the All-American, but can we call him the All-Israel boy? Grew up in a small hometown. Everybody knew his character. They knew who he was. And all of a sudden, God has picked for him. I mean, this is a marriage pre-arranged in heaven. God says, I want you to marry Gomer. Wow. Gomer? She's beautiful. Wow. Now, he goes on to say, you don't know this, but Hosea, I'm God, and I've picked her for you because she's going to picture Israel. And how in her relationship with me, she sinned against me and she's forsaken me and she's become a whore. She's not been faithful to me. And I just want you to know that she's also going to be unfaithful to you. And your children are going to be a picture of Israel and their relationship with me. Whoa. Did everybody hear that? Now, this shocks the church. I don't know if some of you are like my wife, but man, Selisa really struggled with this book this week. This is tough. How about you? Is it tough on you? It's so tough that some pastors and scholars believe this is not a real story. That God would not have one of his prophets marry a lady like this. Therefore, it's just an allegory. We're supposed to get the meaning, but realize there are really no historical characters here. This marriage didn't happen. And then there are other Christians who cannot fathom the depth of this, so they say that Gomer just committed spiritual harlotry. Her heart got turned from worshiping God, and her heart got turned to these foreign gods, so she just committed spiritual adultery. I personally can't go with those two. I think that defies the context. But we do have two options. And here's the first option. First option is this. Gomer was that girl in class that every class has. Raised insecure, never had a good home environment, therefore she was promiscuous her whole life. She'd slept with a lot of the boys in the class, and therefore everybody knew Gomer. No pun intended. And God says, that's who I've picked for you. And therefore, when Hosea announced his marriage to Gomer, the community went, what? A man of God marrying her? Can't believe it, can't believe it, can't believe it. Or, in the Hebrew says we can do this. She was not that when he married her, but would become that unfaithful after he married her. Therefore, she was the good girl in class, faithful to God, a perfect companion for a prophet. But later in the marriage, she would become unfaithful many, many, many times. That's the one I go with. But God, in his foreknowledge, let Hosea know, your marriage is going to picture how it's going with me. And your wife is going to present the sin of Israel. Your wife is going to be unfaithful to you because my bride, Israel, who I redeemed out of Egypt, took them through the wilderness, gave them the honeymoon of their life, wed them at Mount Sinai, gave them a new home, a land flowing with milk and honey, she's been unfaithful to me from the very beginning. And she's forsaken me, the love of her life, for the false gods of this world. Wow. Guys, how would you like to be Hosea? God's going to use you and your family to show how bad it really is. You're going to live through H-E-L-L. She conceives, gives him a son. Now notice this. The Bible says she bore him, Hosea, a son. And God said, name him Jezreel, which means God scattered or God sows. Now you got to realize that in the Hebrew, this word Jezreel and the name Israel just has a small variant. So I like to believe that Hosea is probably saying, whoa, God, you mean you want me to name my son Israel, not Jezreel? And God says, no, don't name him God strengthens. Name him God scatters, because I'm going to scatter the northern kingdom all over the Assyrian Empire. Can you imagine when Hosea gets up to show his little boy to the people of God? This is God scatters. And every time you see him, be reminded that soon you will no longer live in the northern kingdom. You will be scattered all over the Assyrian Empire. Whoa! And then she gave birth to a girl. Notice the Bible does not say she bore him a girl. And you know what they named her? Lo Rahama, which means no pity, no mercy. And then she weaned her, and after she weaned her, she got pregnant again. And again, the Bible doesn't say it was Hosea's. It just says she bore a son. And this time, you know what Hosea named him? Lo-Ami. Not mine. Not mine. How would you like to be the preacher and the whole community know the first son is yours, the daughter might not be, but could be, but the last one is definitely not yours? Because your family is a picture of the sin of Israel. By the time we get to chapter 2, Hosea's saying to the kids, hey, you better talk to your mom. We're not married anymore. She's not my wife. I'm not her husband. Your mother is unfaithful, and if you're not careful, you're just like her. You're going to be unfaithful too, so you better talk to mama, because mama's having a profound influence on you. And when you read chapter 2, here's what you discover. Mama is going from lover to lover because mama is using lovers to get something. She's not into lovers for the physical intimacy. She's into the lovers for what the lovers can give her. This is not uncommon, even in our day to day. So here's what happens. Lovers are giving her wine, they're giving her oil, they're giving her flax, they're giving her wool. But she's just bouncing from lover to lover. And every time she bounces, she goes down, 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 down. And here's the picture of chapter 2. These lovers aren't giving her this stuff at all. These lovers are just using her. So you know what Hosea's doing? Hosea, even though he's not married to her now, is keeping his eye on her. And when he sees a need she has, he's showing up at the door, knocking on the door. A man comes to the door and he says, you're with Gomer. Yeah, I am. What's it to you? Would you give this to her? And he presents wine, he presents wool, he presents flax, he presents everything she needs. Lover slams the door, goes back into the bedroom and says, honey, look what I've brought! That's what the world does. It takes credit for what God gives. Amen? Is that not happening here in this very church? We credit our innate business ability to provide for our family. Man, I'm a hard worker! Some of us credit the union. We credit the corporation, right? Some of you are crediting Wall Street for the way you can now live in retirement. And God's going, woo, over here! I provided all that for you, and yet you don't recognize me at all. And then God appears to Hosea. Hosea, I'm going to show Israel how much I love them despite their sin. So here's what I want you to do. You've lost contact with Gomer, and you don't realize this, but she's being auctioned off today down at the slave market. Yes, she's being loved by another man at this very moment. She is an adulteress, but I want you to go down there and buy her. Redeem her, and then restore your relationship to her, because that's how much I love Israel. Does anybody hear me? Her wrong choice has now taken her to a place where she's wanted by nobody. No man wants her now. No man will provide for her, so she's now being sold as a slave. Can I just remind you that the price of a slave in the biblical world was 30 shekels of silver? Hosea goes down to the slave market, and there she is, his wife, Gomer, naked on that auction block. I just have to believe when he sees her, his mind goes back to when she was a beautiful virgin presenting herself to him. And look at her now and what sin's done to her. I don't know about you, but every once in a while I run into some people I hadn't seen in a long time. And some of the people I run into did not make the right choice in life. And I look at them and, man, they's in my class, but they look 80. They've had a hard life. You know what I'm talking about? It zapped everything out of them. Sin offers so much and delivers nothing ultimately. Sin kills. Now, I don't know for sure. I'm using my sanctified imagination. But I can imagine the humiliation she's feeling. So I don't think she ever looks up. Would you ladies look up? I think she's looking down. And all of a sudden the auction starts. 15 shekels. And a few bushels of barley. Whoa, 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 whoa. Ladies, do you hear this? Ladies, ladies, ladies. You go to the mall, the new fashions are coming in, and they're all on the shelves, and they're full price. And over here is a table that says clearance. There's a special rack now in the middle of the store that says 50% off. We're not talking about a shirt. We're not talking about a blouse. We're talking about a human being. That when the gavel falls and Hosea buys her, she didn't bring half price. I don't know about you, but I can imagine some of Hosea's friends may have went down there to the slave auction that day. They may have been there. And when they see Hosea bidding on her, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? If I were you, praise God you're not me. I love He buys her. I personally believe he puts his cloak on her to cover her nakedness. And it's not till after he clothes her that she realizes it's Hosea. It's Hosea. Can I be honest? Just be honest. I've been in the counseling room too many times. Nothing like this. But there's been an affair. And the one being forgiven is ready for the one forgiving to unload. Now, until you've been there, you just can't imagine. I can only imagine Gomer as he leads her out of the slave block. She's wondering, what's he going to do? He owns me. I'm his slave. I believe this could have went through her mind. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. Well, maybe not. He'll never get over this. I'll hear about this the rest of my life. He'll bring it up every opportunity he can. I don't know how far out of the city they got till he says to her, according to the Bible, Gomer, we're going to give this some time. You're going to be my wife. I'm going to be your husband. You're going to be faithful to me. And I'm going to be faithful to you. The purpose of God's redemption through Hosea for Gomer was not just to redeem her and then remind her of her past, but to restore her to full privileges of being a faithful wife despite her past. Wow! What shines through when we see the sin of Israel is the love of God. Greatest verse in the Bible for most Baptists is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But perhaps the greatest chapter in the Bible is Hosea chapter 3. Because in Hosea chapter 3, it reveals God's love for His people. You realize He didn't give half price for us, right? You know that, right? You know there was no one else bidding, right? You know God could have gave for us whatever He wanted to give for us. He's God. But in order for us to know how much He loves us in spite of our sin, in spite of us messing around on Him, to not only redeem us, but to restore us, to fully forgive us, so that we can have a relationship with Him despite our past, to have a glorious future, He paid with the blood of His Son. You know that, right? You and I had a debt we could not pay. He could have reduced it, but he didn't, and he wouldn't. And by not reducing it, he reveals to us not only his holiness and his justice, but he reveals to us his love. You sinner. You sinner. By nature and by choice, got yourself in the mess you got yourself in. And to get you out, but not just out, back with him, he killed his son in your place. Many of you would have looked at Gomer and said, I don't want anything to do with you, you old. God could have looked at us and said, you old. But he didn't. Our sin against him did not cause him to quit loving us. He created us knowing we were going to do what we did. And to redeem us and restore us, he knew what it was going to cost him. And that was the life of his son. May we never look at Hosea the same again. Because against the background of our sin, we see our God's love for us. He loves you this morning. Jared, for the past couple of months, has been searching and searching and searching. And he's come to God. Oh, he had information. He had the brain knowledge. But it has to pass to the heart. You know the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you willing this morning, under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, to turn from a life of sin and put your faith in Jesus for the first time? Hey, Satan will, but God will never bring up your sin again. It's gone. He'll be faithful to you, and you'll be faithful to him. And can I just say, you'll live happily ever after with him. Oh, there'll be some troubles, but he'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you. There will be a joy that will never be taken away. This morning, under the leadership of God, why don't you make that decision? Maybe you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Why not this morning? Why not step out and say, I'm part of the bride of Christ. And let the whole world know you're in a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Some of you are sitting here and you know you're married to God. You're part of the church. But you know the sin you're still committing, even though Christ died for it. And you've been set free from it. Why don't you deal with that right now? Our worship team's going to come back out and we're going to conclude our service by opening the door for you to respond to the preached word of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, as our worship team comes back on stage, we as a congregation, we sit in your presence. And Father, we've got some choices right now. Some of us have been convicted of being a sinner, just like Jared, and we could be saved this morning. We got some counseling men and women here who would love to talk, Father, to them about Jesus. We got some folks here who have been saved, but have never fought the Lord in believer's baptism. We got some families here who need to initiate the process of becoming a member here at Hardin because they've moved from another area, been here for months and years, and just have never made it official that Hardin's where you've called them to serve. And Father, we've got some believers who need to slip up out of their pew and they just need to come down here to this altar and they need to deal with some stuff. You've called them to be faithful, and they're not being faithful right now. Father, we've got some folks who maybe just want to slip down here and on their face before you, thank you for your love. But then, Father, some of us are going to make the choice that we're going to worship you on this last song. Because we realize our sinful past, and we know where we'd be if it were not for you. So, Father, we now want to respond to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.